Good morning. This is Sunday, July 16th, 2023. We're continuing our study of the altitude of prayer. We're on chapter 7, Planting and Cultivating the Seed. In this chapter, he gives specific instruction as to what to do to cultivate. He begins with the continued practice of the presence of God comes a steady lessening of personal responsibility, an inner quiet, a peace, and a joy develop which make contemplative meditation easier. We should have started with a contemplative meditation. Let's do that now. You can close your eyes or not, so long as you feel that presence. And where is that presence? Well, in Him we live and move and have our being. So we are standing in the middle of the presence, because it's an omnipresence. And so everywhere you go, anywhere you go, you are in omnipresence. And that presence, that omnipresence, is in you. The I of you. That presence is the I of you. And so whither can I flee from thy presence? And what is omnipresence? It's the presence of the Most High. And when you dwell in it consciously, you are one with that presence. And that presence brings peace. The responsibility falls away, your shoulders relax, you're resting on a sea of spirit. Behold, I make all things new. And so your conscious feeling of the presence forms itself as new something or other, new supply, new comforting, new life. My grace is thy sufficiency. So let us rest here on this sea of spirit and open the inner consciousness to receive Him. The practice of the presence begins to remold your entire consciousness, so that instead of your living your own life or being dependent on your own wisdom, you are now drawing on this untapped invisible source, which is available to every person in the degree that he knows the truth. And there's the clincher. knows the truth. How do you know the truth? Do you know it with your mind? If I say to myself, His grace is my sufficiency, am I knowing the truth? No. Knowing the truth is not done with the mind. Knowing the truth is done with spiritual discernment. It's done with the soul, your soul. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Throughout the day, as you acknowledge that regardless of the name or nature of your problem, there is a He within you greater than any problem that faces you, you relax in Him. Eventually, the day comes when you can say, I'm not living my own life. I am living, yes, but I am not striving or struggling. Christ is living my life, the Spirit of God in me, the spiritual presence. There is an awareness of something. The awareness, when you feel it, that's knowing the truth. Practicing the presence of God leads to meditation, and meditation leads to the actual contact with God, an inner assurance of His presence. Then you are praying the prayer that enables you to be in the inner sanctuary within yourself, and there tabernacle with God. So we have these 10-second meditations throughout the day and night, and we practice the presence. This leads to contemplative meditation, where for 10 seconds or 10 minutes you contemplate God, as we did at the beginning. That in turn leads to an inner silence, an inner resting, a relaxing. And that brings communion, conscious awareness of the living God within you, the presence. Scripture tells us that all things are formed of things that are not seen. And that which is not seen is the invisible something, the invisible presence, the invisible power. On the next page he says, why is there such chaos in the world today, and why are people so disturbed? Well, you can keep yourself in sin and disease, lack, limitation, warfare, and even death, just by keeping yourself out of your native element, the invisible substance. So you put a seed into the ground, and the ground is its native element. Here, he says, your native element is the invisible substance. But you have to have the conscious feeling, conscious awareness of that invisible substance. According to Scripture, in Him we live and move and have our being. Swimming in an ocean, flying in a plane, even on the battlefield, wherever you are, you live and move and have your being in God. You are planted in Him, rooted and grounded in Him. You cannot remove yourself from God because God is your natural habitat. So that invisible substance must be God. The entire air that surrounds me is an ocean of God, and it fills me outside and inside. I live and move and have my being in this ocean of God, in this sea of love and wisdom, the sea of spirit, the sea of invisible substance. I am in God, and God is in me. Your conscious knowing of this truth provides the soil or atmosphere that brings the activity of this invisible presence and power into expression in your life. Okay, but what is conscious knowing? It's not conscious thinking. Through steadfastly abiding in the truth of God's presence, you can experience safety, security, protection, justice, equity, and equality. But no one can bring these things to you, not even God. You, yourself, must live consciously in Him, and then He will establish you in all your ways. So we've got that consciousness, and conscious, and consciously. If the Spirit of God has not touched you, you will not be conscious of the indwelling presence. So, the Spirit of God has to touch you. And how does it touch you? It touches you as you practice the presence throughout your days. Take these 10-second reminders. Eyes open or eyes closed, it doesn't matter. And you have longer meditations, 3 or 4, that are 10 minutes to 15 minutes. Open your consciousness and feel the peace that passes understanding right here where you are. Consciously remember that the Son of God abides in you. And this Son of God is your meat, your bread, your supply, your safety, your income forever. Your consciousness of this indwelling spiritual presence is your eternal supply. Your consciousness. So, your conscious awareness of God is your income forever. It's your comforter forever. It's your life forever. A meditation that has in it no conscious awareness leads to a mental stillness without any spiritual fruitage. So you should pay attention to that. For this reason, you must know why you are meditating, and you must know what principles to bring into your meditation. Now, we don't want a mental stillness. And this mental stillness we get by repeating something over and over inside in our minds. We want the spiritual fruitage. We want spiritual awareness. We want conscious awareness. We want to feel the presence. He says there are the 10-second meditations to be used as reminders. There are also longer meditations of 10 minutes duration for the contemplation of truth and the actual communion with the Father within. Thank you, Father, that your grace is upon me. Thank you, Father, that you have given me your peace. Of my own self, I could not have faith, hope, or confidence. Whatever measure of these I have is the gift of your grace within me. And then there is a pause, a listening for the inner voice. See, then there is a pause. And in that pause, is where you hear a still small voice. In that pause is where your soul, open to the Spirit, feels that inner movement. The presence announces itself. You feel it. You're consciously aware of it. And it that you are consciously aware of, the presence, says, I am the truth. And so consciously knowing, feeling the presence, is consciously knowing the truth. And consciously knowing the truth leads to an actual activity of this invisible presence into expression in your life. I wrote here in the margin, comes in the pause when you feel it. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you have been led to a spiritual way of life, you will never be able to forget either the 10-second meditations or the 10-minute contemplative meditations. You will be as unable to go through the hours of the day and night without the conscious remembrance of the presence of God as you would be unable to go without food or drink. Food and drink are essential to the natural man. So the conscious awareness of the presence of God is essential to the spiritual man. Spiritual food is more important to the Son of God. And so if you have not had the fruitage of the Spirit, the reason is you've been settling for a mental stillness and an intellectual knowing the truth or statements of truth. But now you're being asked to come up higher into the secret place of the Most High, where your soul can receive Spirit and birth the Christ. Your conscious awareness of Spirit entering your soul is what births the Christ. Always the first reminder must be, what have I in my house? What have I in my consciousness? Then you can have 10, 15, 20, or 30 minutes of a contemplative meditation, just going within and finding what you already have in your house. You are living, you have a life, you have consciousness, you have intelligence, you have reasoning. All this has been given to you as the gift of God. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that you have. And notice how this changes the direction of your thought from the natural man who's always wanting to get something, to being the spiritual Son of God who is always sharing. Ask me, and I can give you. I can give you the peace that passes understanding. I can share with you the indwelling Christ peace that the Father has given me. Observe how this reverses the trend, the direction of your life. Spiritual man is not only always receiving, but always sharing. I share Christ's blessings with friend and foe, and hope that my foe may have the spiritual capacity to receive what I offer. In your home, realize, I bring to this home living waters. I bring to this home divine love. I bring to this home the grace of God. And you do. if you have the conscious awareness of the presence. There never has been peace on earth because everyone has come here looking for it, and so few have ever come to bring it. If you bring peace to this earth, it will be there. But if you, like the natural man, come looking for peace on earth, you will never find it. It is not here until you bring it. What have you in your consciousness? You have the peace that passes understanding. You can take it wherever you will. Okay, so do you see the difference between knowing the truth intellectually and coming to a mental stillness where nothing happens, and your contemplative meditation where you contemplate scripture or contemplate truth until you reach an inner stillness and you wait upon the Lord, you rest, you relax, and in quietness and in confidence you receive Him. And you feel that inner movement, you hear the still small voice, you feel the presence within, without. And you commune with it. I and my Father are one consciously. And so he says the presence becomes an experience. As prayer and meditation become increasingly a way of life, you discover something of an unusual nature takes place. The kingdom of God, this very presence of God that is within you, makes itself known to you. It either speaks to you in plain language, or it announces itself in a feeling of the presence, or in an assurance. In one way or another, a moment comes when instead of talking about the presence or seeking it, all of a sudden you feel it. There it is. Now you experience it. So, I remember reading Practicing the Presence and the Art of Meditation, and I remember him saying there that as you practice the presence throughout your day, it leads to contemplative meditation. And contemplating, contemplative meditation leads to silence, spiritual silence in which you are resting, waiting, you're receptive. That's one of Joel's favorite words, receptivity. You're receptive, listening, you're in tune. And then one of the times when you do it, you feel something. Well, he'll get into that here. Usually, it is of such brief duration that you wonder whether it really happened or whether it was your imagination. It was not your imagination at all. It really happened, and it will happen again and again. Eventually, that brief moment will be two brief moments. Many students have had the experience of being able consciously to commune with the Spirit within for hours and hours, and sometimes for days and days, and it never leaves. There does come an end to the experience of actual communion, however, and then you go back into the world and do your daily tasks, but do them better than before and with much more love, certainly with a freedom from fear. But you get lonesome for that presence, and sometimes when it does not come back as quickly as you would like, you become very unhappy. Now, if you haven't read The Spiritual Journey of Joel S. Goldsmith by Lorraine Sinkler, I highly recommend it. In it, she has put letters that Joel sent her over a period of years. And in those letters, as you read them, you can certainly see where, in several cases, Joel was very, very unhappy because he could not get the presence back as soon as he would like. And you can read it in there and you can get a feel for it. With patience and continued meditation, he says, it does return, and eventually it returns at will, which is why he could meditate and heal so easily, because he had reached a place where it returned at will. It comes back at any moment that you want to blink your eyes. As a matter of fact, it almost seems as if there are only brief periods when it is absent from you. Even then, it is not really absence, it's just in the background. Whenever a need appears for it, you can bring it into conscious awareness by reaching into your own consciousness. The allness of God is within me. Whatever I have been seeking in life, I will now find. It is in my own being, and it will come forth. This attitude leads to a contact with your source and to an actual communion with God. Now, he did not say these words. He did not say this belief. He did not say this statement of truth. He said this attitude. And what is the attitude? The attitude is being receptive and knowing that the answer is within and it will come forth. And so the attitude is quietness and confidence. During this period, which sometimes is a very long one in your life, going on often for years, it would almost seem as if you were denying the truth that you and the Father are one. Because there is always a you, and there is always the Father within, to whom you are reaching out for assurance and reassurance, with whom you are communing. And there is that Father within who responds. Through practicing the presence, you have reached into meditation, and from meditation into that inner communion with God, an actual living with this that is within you, talking to you much more than you ever talked to it, letting you know by its presence that you have nothing to fear in this world. And this is prayer. So, practicing the presence, reaching within to contemplative meditation, coming to an end of that, and sitting in the silence in real meditation. And then comes communion with God, an actual living with this that is within you. Your life changes the moment you plant yourself in Him. All you have to do, wherever you are, is to recognize, here where I am, God is. I swim in a sea of spirit, of infinite wisdom and love. So, Are you seeing a little clearer now? Maybe why there hasn't been any fruitage? He told us way back, well, he told me 52 years ago now, in the Art of Meditation, that we should start with contemplative meditation, and that if we did that, eventually we would come to the end of our knowing truth that way, and a silence would descend upon us, and then we would feel that inner presence. And he said in practicing the presence that if we combine practicing the presence with contemplative meditation and then periods of silence, it was guaranteed we would feel that inner presence. So there are steps here. The infinite way is just not something you jump into the middle of. There are actual steps that you take, and they're in order. Those who do not experience that fulfillment either will not plant the seeds or they will not cultivate them. And as soon as I read that, I thought, okay, how do you cultivate those seeds? And then I read on and he explained it. To whatever extent a person is not flourishing, it's not the fault of God. It's the fault of his not planting and cultivating, that's twice, cultivating the seed of truth within himself. If you plant a seed of truth within your consciousness this moment and cultivate it, that's the third time, it will spring up into newness of life. But do not plant it and go away and neglect it. Cultivate it day by day. That's four. The kingdom of God is established within me. I am living not only surrounded by air, but surrounded by the life, the love, and the wisdom of God. I am swimming in an ocean of God. God is the invisible presence of intelligence and love, and this infinite invisible presence of wisdom and love is within me and without me. I am in it, and it is in me. Where I am, it is. Where it is, I am. For we are inseparable, indivisible, one. This is a form of contemplative meditation, and it constitutes cultivating the seed. So there it is. Cultivating the seed is contemplative meditation. So we have a seed. Let's take a seed, shall we? How about well, now that I want one, I can't find one. How about I in the midst of me am mighty. So that's a seed. Now we're practicing the presence throughout the day. We might come into something that appears to be a problem that we can't figure out. So in practicing the present, we're taking that seed and we're saying to ourselves that the I within me is mighty. It's mightier than any problem out here. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And who is in the world? The natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. So the mind is the natural man, and he cannot know the things of God. Well, I've already reached the stillness. But if you went on, you might say, and so I'm going to rest. I'm going to step out of the natural man and rest back in He that is within me. And you take this in your 15-minute meditations and you contemplate it. And when you run out of things to say about it or think about it, you reach the stillness, and it's a natural progression. You're not forcing anything. You're not saying, okay, I need to still the mind. You're not trying to force the mind to be still. You're just naturally contemplating. And the natural progression is to come to the end of your contemplation and reach a stillness. And then in the stillness, you rest back. I'm resting on a sea of spirit. And you stand still. You stop. You listen. And the presence announces itself. Thank you, Father. And this is prayer. After students have been studying the infinite way for a year or two, they set aside not less than 3 or 4 periods each day for periods of 5, 10, or 15 minutes for the purpose of consciously dwelling in God and consciously letting God dwell in them. And then the rest of the day you have your 10-second reminders. Then the rest of the day they live their lives, tend to their business or profession, whatever it may be, the same as everyone else. The only difference between them and the rest of the world is that they now have the Spirit of God dwelling in them because they have consciously brought it about. So it's you that must bring it about through the practice of the principles, the specific instructions He's giving you here. This must be your act to consciously bring it about. It is never too late, and it is really never too early. The sooner you begin, the sooner you are living in the atmosphere of God. Between now and 10,000 years from now, you can in any moment choose to live in His Spirit. Did you know you could do that? Choose to live consciously in spirit? So he says, plant the seed of truth in your consciousness and begin daily to nourish it, cultivate it, with brief periods of practicing the presence, which means a conscious remembrance of living in God and of life by grace. Stop fighting life. Stop chasing after God, and God will come right up to you. Be still. In quietness and in confidence, I give you peace and rest. 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 In quietness and in confidence, I am with you. In quietness and in confidence, you will feel my peace is upon you. My peace give I unto you. My grace is yours. My grace is your sufficiency. Put up your sword. You need not fight. Relax. Rest. Eat of my meat, you will never hunger. Drink of my water, you will never thirst. Relax in me, and let me abide in you. Consciously rest in me. I am the resurrection. And so he says, I give you a seed of truth. You plant it in your consciousness. You nurture it. You feed it. You cultivate it. You remember it day by day, quietly, peacefully, joyously. And in due season, the fruitage will appear. And what is the fruitage? What is the fruitage that will appear? The fruitage is realization, making it real, having it form itself in whatever your fulfillment is. Well, that sure went by quickly. We're only at 41 minutes. So let's have another meditation. Let's borrow a seed from him. Let thy spirit be present in me. Let it work its will in me. Let it do with me what it will. And what is the will of God for you? A man told me, a teacher told me, the will of God is fulfillment, peace, and joy. And so if you were afraid of the will of God, don't be afraid. I know we were taught, I was taught, many of us were taught, that God punishes our sins. That's ridiculous. No such God exists. Oh yeah, there was Lord God, which was karma. And that God, which was not God, not the real God, Lord God would punish the heck out of sins. But it wasn't the Lord that was doing it. It was the sin itself. When you live under the law, before you find out how to commune with Spirit, then you are punished. You're punished by yourself. You're punished by the things you put out there. Oh, what's a good example? Let's say that you're afraid of bees, right? So you're all the time thinking of bees, and you're ducking them when you see them, and you're running from them, and one day you sit down on your front porch steps, and you sit on a bee, and it stings you. Why did that happen? Well, you poured it out, and it came right back. That's the law at work. But what if you live by the Spirit, and you live in the Spirit, and you consciously commune with Spirit, with that presence within? Well, then you're going to find yourself no longer afraid, because you're going to be living by the Spirit. You're going to be following its guidance and direction. You're going to find yourself in the right place at the right time. And you will find that just for some reason there aren't any bees around. And you're no longer afraid. I know that's a poor example, but it's the one that came to me, so. We are having a transition. We are transitioning out of the natural man, the human being, the mind. And we're transitioning into the Spirit of God expressing. we're transitioning into the presence flowing as you and as me. We are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, all these many years we lived by our intellect and our reason, and now that mind is being renewed. Because in our meditations, in our communion, in our silence, we receive the Spirit. And the Spirit renews the mind. I make all things new, and that includes the mind. Instead of a reasoning, thinking, planning, scheming mind, it becomes the secret place of the Most High. It becomes the temple of the living presence of God. It becomes really a holy place. And that's what we're doing. And it doesn't come in a cataclysmic cough. Most of the time it comes gradual, gentle, slowly. As he said, one brief period becomes two brief periods of communion, and eventually it becomes minutes of communion, and hours of communion, and even days. I don't know about you, but I have discovered that the mind, the reasoning, thinking, planning, and plotting mind, it doesn't want to leave. It doesn't want to go. It doesn't want to get out of the driver's seat. But I have also discovered I don't have to fight it. I don't have to work that hard. No, I can practice the presence. I can have these 10 second reminders. I can blink the eyes with just one word, omnipresence. I like that word. I like that awareness very much. And I can have these contemplative meditations for 10 or 15 minutes. If nothing else, I can have one when I first wake up, before I go to bed, maybe in the middle of the night if I wake up, and in the middle of the day, in the afternoon. And these together, practicing the presence and contemplative meditation, brings an inner silence. Naturally, without fighting. And if we persist, remember to rest back in that silence, we will feel an inner movement. We will feel a presence. Sometimes it's very strong, a Spirit of God descending in you, filling your whole being, your whole room, your whole house. And resting in that, you have received Him. And He expresses as Christ. It expresses. I don't really like her or him. I like it. It expresses. Christ expresses and shows itself as fulfillment, as an adequate supply with 10 baskets full left over or 12 baskets left over so you can share with or as a comforter showing up as a friend or friends, sometimes as an animal or a plant, but brings you comfort and you feel the comforter in it. And as life, as new form, and you don't know how that works, just know that it does. It appears as your form and makes it a little better, a little more alive, a little more spiritual. And this is the contemplative meditation that we're having right now. It leads to an inner quiet, an inner stillness, an inner listening. And then we commune with the Father, or the Presence, or the Christ. The name's not important. You can call it Shekinah. The experience is everything. Throughout all his books, Joel talks about the experience, capital E. He knows that everything else falls short. But in this inner communion, you experience something not human. And that something is God. And when your soul is so receptive that it receives God within, you experience the Immaculate Conception. And you birth the Christ child. And as he said, at first you say to yourself, was that it? Was that it? And you continue to practice and it happens again and again. We are becoming the Christ on earth. Did you know that that was going to be your fulfillment? There are about 225 of us, probably more than I'm unaware of, that listen to these talks and follow this book. And all of us together practicing, release this Christ into the world. You know you're not here just to experience fulfillment for yourself. Yes, you will experience supply, companionship, health, life, energy. But that's not the goal. Oh no, it's much bigger than that. We are here to release the Christ. Together, we released one Christ on earth as it is in heaven. And it is the resurrection. and it goes from one to the other to the other, resurrecting the Christ in the tombs of our consciousness. And then the ascension, it flows out wherever it will. We are changing the consciousness of mankind so that future generations will be born into this consciousness. Imagine that. You're 5 years old and you know how to tune within and feel that presence because you were born into this consciousness. You and I are doing the work that prepares the way for Christ consciousness. Joel was aware of it. A circle of Christhood, he called it. And now we've taken up the mantle. And wherever I am, Christ is. And wherever you are, Christ is. If you are communing within. So don't think that these are tools that you left behind years ago. They're not. They're tools that you use today to make the transition from natural man to child of God. To Christ, really. Practice the presence. Practice the 10-second reminders. Practice the 4 times a day, 10 to 15 minute contemplative meditations, and always remember the most important part is the pause afterwards, when you're resting. You're just resting on a sea of spirit. The pause is where God comes through. I went to the bank and got into the line where you drive through, and there was a poster up there on the wall, and it said, "Don't pause playtime," and it showed a dog with his paws in the water. And I thought, yeah, don't forget to pause. And so I paused right there while I was waiting on the lady to deposit my check. The pause is the most important part. In the pause, you receive the presence. And then let the presence flow. Let it flow. Everywhere. Silently. Sacredly. Secretly. Nobody will know you're doing this. But you'll see the results. You'll be attuned to it. And you'll see it. Okay. I think this whole talk today was a contemplative meditation. Hopefully it lifted you as it did me. And hopefully I is in the driver's seat now. That I within you. That I, Christ, the presence of the living God. Thank you ever so much for what you continually draw out of me. I always have a meditation that the word come through and touch whoever it's meant to touch. And then after I'm wrapping up, I realize that you drew this out of me. I had no idea what was going to come out. And so I have to say thank you. And I love you. And let the Christ flow through. Thank you.